family, friends. It is so good to be back with you. In the Lord good? Just say yes, he is good. He is good. You can put it in the chat. He is good. And just to be alive and be connected and to be together in the fellowship, even on this virtual platform. And so I just thank you. If you're a first-time visitor, thank you. If you're coming back for a second, third time, thank you. I encourage you to check out our website, ebcnc.com. So much. It is a growing website. So many announcements, and people have reached out, sent cards to Ebenezer, all in there. You can see we got a prayer wall there, and I encourage you to connect with us. I've got so much going on. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, we're actually going through the book of Luke, and just line upon line, precept upon precept. And we've added another Bible study on Thursday at 6 o'clock in person, going through the First John, the book of First John. And that has been really challenging as we've been looking at ourselves. We actually have been talking about politics and other things that's been going on in the United States of America and looking at it through the vision of God's word. The Lord is amazing. He knew we would be in a season such as this. I want you to interact with us. Download that app. Get it on your phone. You can get notifications. You can stay connected. Maybe you're out and you're away from your home computer and your TV, but you can still get the word of God. If you miss the session, the time, guess what? It's recorded. You can go back and you can keep abreast of the things as we grow together. I just want to thank you. Thank you for your giving. Lord is doing some wonderful things at Ebenezer, and I'm just thankful. And it's because we have learned how to give. God loves a cheerful giver. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves, again, that cheerful giver. Hadn't God been good? Has he blessed you? Yes, he's blessed us all, even with gas prices and inflation and all these taunts. He's been a wonderful provider. He has been a wonderful God, and he's been more than enough. So let's continue to trust him. Let's continue to bless people that are around us. Reach out. Giving comes in so many different perspectives. Some people just need a hug, especially in the season of COVID and monkeypox and people concerned about touching. And I heard about a case of polio, all of these things. But understand, God says we are covered. We can plead the blood of Jesus. Thank God for vaccines. Praise the Lord for that. Thank God for gloves and other things. But isn't it so important as saints of God to hear the voice of the Lord and to give as God leads us? So in this season, please, please let God use you. Well, we're getting back into that topic of renew your mind. I'm telling you, a word is coming. It is going to bless you. Let us prepare ourselves as we think about the goodness of the Lord. See you soon.
Begin at verse 33. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Verse 24, though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. Amen. And here is the verse, the next three verses, so I'd like to want you to really get a chance, read it. Listen at verse 25. It says, I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And verse, or their children begging bread. Isn't that good? And listen at verse 26. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. And verse 27, turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. And the last verse, verse 28, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. God bless you, And I trust that we will continue to read as we move through this life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's seeking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Help me sing it. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide, I'm down on my knee. I've learned to stand because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think that I'll make Jesus my own. From now on, when I'm in trouble, on him I will call. If I didn't trust him, I'll be less than a man, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valley wide, I'm down on my knees. I've learned to stand because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
We're back into our topic, renew your mind, and how we learn, that whole process. Remember that car that has the brain on top of it, that transformation process that the Lord is doing within our minds and our hearts. And I pray as we're going through these lessons that you're really being engaged, that we are learning together how the Holy Spirit teaches us from the inside out, that we can grow in the Lord, becoming more like him. In the book of 1 John, we're actually talking and we're teaching in our Thursday night Bible study on the fact that when we see him, we're going to be like him. And so that's the process that the Lord is working within us. We have a memory scripture, and I really want you to get it. It comes from Romans chapter 12 and the second verse. And I encourage you with this to say it aloud, write it down, get it in your heart. As we do it together, I really want you to focus in on the meaning of that. So Romans 12 and 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I know this is a familiar one, but I want you to really get down. This is a New King James Version. Sometimes I go to King James Version because that's what I memorized it in. But however, what version, whatever version you have, please just get it in your heart. Before we go any further, I just want to go in a word of prayer so that we can be prepared to receive. I really believe the Lord is going to speak strong into our lives. So let's pray together. Father, I come to you and I just thank you so much for your immense grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you for this connectivity platform, for allowing us to use the internet for your glory, Lord. I thank you that the broadcast is going out to so many young and old and in North Carolina on the outside. And I ask you, Lord, that you will grow it for your glory, that you be lifted up, that more people will get sound doctrine and stay within your word, learn your word. Help us to grow together. I pray for those who may view that really don't know you. Help them, Lord, to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray for the saints, Lord, again, that we grow together in this and we be encouraged. Lord, I ask you to move me out of the way, and Holy Spirit, I sense you already here. You dwell within us. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put it on the chat or wherever you are? Say amen. The Lord has definitely been good. On last time, man, we were in a tough portion of the scriptures, Genesis chapter 3, and we spoke from that topic, eating from the wrong tree, and dealt with failure, that we can actually learn from failure. It is not the recommended one to learn from, but we can definitely learn from failure within our lives, dealing with Adam and Eve and that whole process as the serpent came in and they were deceived. And Adam and Eve sinned, and God has to bring judgment upon them. What a sad time, but anybody thankful for Jesus, the wonderful plan of Christ. Some points in review from last time. Has God said, challenging God's word, stay in your lane, accountability, hiding from God, afraid of God. And that last one we dealt with was the blame game. We saw Adam blaming it on Eve and Eve blaming it on the serpent. We have to take responsibility for our decisions and our learning process. In today's scripture, we're going to, they call him the minor prophet, but he's major to me, especially the material that he's dealing with and the Holy Spirit using him. Habakkuk chapter 2. And I want us to focus in on that second verse, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Then the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Habakkuk 2, 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. I want to speak from a subject today. I want you to get this one. Write, read, and run. Write, read, and run. As we are going through this topic of renew your mind, we are learning how we learn. Seeing how God actually deals with us in our minds, our spirits, and that transformation process via His Word. You know, there are a lot of teaching techniques. I was a former teacher, and you know, we learn a lot of techniques to help our students to learn. But in the same respect, God has infused teaching methods within His scriptures, and we're going to see that. The time frame today is around 607 BC. Yes, 607 BC. Habakkuk, this prophet of the Lord, is used in an amazing way. Habakkuk is actually similar to Jonah because he has some questions. He doesn't understand God. Judah is the central character within this book, and Judah is coming under judgment. God is allowing the Babylonians to come in and judge because Judah and portions of Israel have decided that they're going to turn from God. Habakkuk understands the judgment, but he doesn't understand why God would use the Babylonians, who are more sinful than Judah. They're doing more evil than Israel. And so in this process, Habakkuk has so many questions from God. Why are you allowing this to happen? And will you allow it to go on forever, or will you cut it short? So here we pick up this particular portion of scripture, and we can learn with Habakkuk. How does God teach us? How does God take us from one level to another? Let's jump into this section. Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand my watch, Habakkuk says, and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Here's our first point. Wait for Him. Yes, wait for Him. That chapter 2, as said before, was challenging. Habakkuk says, I don't understand, God. I know we deserve judgment, but do you have to use the Babylonians, and do they have to stay so long? And so he's questioning God. And I bring forth, as we are challenging our lives, there's sometimes you're going to have to talk to the Lord in our prayer time. That's how we learn, asking questions of God. So many times we can ask other people questions, and that's great. We've got those boards that we can bounce off back and forth, but please, you got to go to the Lord, and that's what prayer is all about. Louis Gigolo, she says this. He says, to us, waiting is wasting. To God, waiting is working. I want to read that again. To us, waiting is wasting. To God, waiting is working. Habakkuk actually takes time to retire to his tower, and he's like, Lord, I am going to wait on You. I need to hear a word from You. This is the process in renewing our mind. We've got to find time in our day to wait on the Lord. Please hear me. Can you put that in the chat? Wait on the Lord. You got to find that time, because the enemy is coming in with so many distractions. And many, you know, you get up in the morning, you do your little routine, and before you know it, it's nighttime again. And many have not spent as much time as they need with the Lord, really seeking His face. And there's so many stresses being thrown us in our lives, and the things that we have to deal with. We must learn to wait on the Lord. Matthew Henry actually writes of this learning process, renewing our mind, a write, read, and run. Those that expect to hear from God must withdraw from the world and get above it, must raise their attention, fix their thoughts, study the scriptures, consult experiences and the experience, continue instant in prayer, and thus set themselves upon the tower. Isn't that good? We've got to take those times and say, God, You're going to be my priority in everything. Lord, I want to learn more of You, and I realize You know all things, so I need You to order my steps. I'm talking about write, read, and run. David gives us an example of waiting on the Lord and what it can do for our faith. And I want to encourage you, once we learn to get into God's presence and wait on Him, it will change us from the inside out. We will learn so much of God. Psalms 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here it is, Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Habakkuk is waiting on the Lord, and in his distress, in his misunderstanding of God's movement, he's waiting to hear a word from the Lord. I'm telling you, I believe that some of you are right now are going through some situations in your life. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will speak. He will give you clarity. He will strengthen your heart. Look at Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Here's the point. Write it down. Yes, write it down. Again, write, read, and run. This is important. God just placed this thought on my heart and I wrote it down. If the Lord speaks to us, we need to write it down. Yes, if the Lord speaks to us, we need to write it down. Now, I must speak. I know there may be some out there that cannot write or did not learn to read. I'm realizing as I get older, there are a lot of people that just did not get those skills or maybe are challenged by some handicaps. Please understand, even if the Lord speaks and you can't write it down or you can't memorize it within yourself, I'm telling you, have somebody else speak it to you and somehow get that on the inside of you. And many say that they can't memorize, but I encourage you just got to go over and over again. It's amazing. We learn what we want to learn. Any amens out there? We do. My son was going through a sign test and he had to learn the shapes of the signs as well as what would be on that. And he passed with flying colors. You know why? Because he wanted his license. And so in that same process, the things that we want and desire, we can get it on the inside of us. If the Lord speaks to us, we need to write that down. In context, he's telling Habakkuk that the downfall of the Babylonians will come, but just not now. I want to say it again. He's saying that the Babylonians, they're going to be judged even for their attacks on Judah, but it's not going to come right now. How many times in our lives as we're learning from the Lord, we want God to move really quick, but God is saying, I am going to move, but I'm just not going to move right now. We've got to write it down. That's what Habakkuk is learning. He's learning, I've got to write this down that the victory is going to take place, not now. And simply when I write it down, it's going to be encouragement to others that are around me that when they read it, that victory is going to come, that even though it's going to be a long time off, they can get encouragement by reading what's wrote down. Let me explain. There have been some times in my life, and I journal a lot when I'm praying, that I've gone back in my journal from years before, and I look and I realize God had answered a prayer, or God had moved, or God had given me an answer to something I wrote, or a question down, or a prayer that I wrote down in the midst of that. And so what happens when we write things down, we can have a litmus test of how God is working in our lives, and we can look back and we can see how good God has been. Now, to be some amens in the house. Just think about all the wonderful prayers that God has answered from us that we lifted up years and years ago. We done forgot, but God is saying, I hadn't forgot. I answered those prayers, and many of those things that God answered, we just didn't give him the proper praise. When I say that, many of us pray for our family. We pray for protection, but guess what? He has done that on a daily basis for so many, and so many times we just take it as a habit in those prayers, but we need to just take time to say, God, I thank you. We need to write it down sometime. Lord, I just want to take time to journal right now. I just want to take time to say, Lord, I thank you. And I want to celebrate you with my hands. I want to celebrate you with my body because he's been so good. The message that was put forth that Habakkuk has to write down, it's bitter and sweet. Yeah, it's bitter and sweet. As I told you before, victory is coming, but not right now. And so Judah is still going through for their sins. And so he has to write this down that victory is coming, but at the same time, he has to tell them that you're still going to go through. E. Henson, he writes of this. He said, when one read it, he was to run not in fear, but in joy, to disseminate the message throughout the land. The message was both bitter and sweet, for it dealt with both the coming Chaldean invasion, Babylonia, which would be bitter, and also the ultimate Chaldean defeat, which would be sweet. How many times in our lives have we struggled so much? If we only could grasp in faith that the victory is on its way. And I want to encourage you right now. Some of you are going through, some of you got struggles with relationship, disease in your body. I want to tell you, victory is on its way. In God's eyes, it is already here. He's saying that we've got to trust him. And many times, again, you got to write write that down. I'm talking about write, read, and run with it. Revelations 10 and 8 actually brings out this bittersweet quality. It says, then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. Verse 9, so I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. I'm talking about write, read, and run. Revelations 10:10. And then I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Here it is. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. How many times have we been challenged getting a word from God? It can be sweet, but it can be bitter at the same time. Any ouches out there? In our lives, there's struggles that come, and so many run away from the Word of God because God's Word, it cuts like a two-edged sword. Notice closely again Habakkuk 2:2, that second part. He says, write the vision. He says, I'm giving you a word. I need you to write it down. I don't need you just to take it haphazardly. I want you to write it down and notice and make it plain on tablets. Now, in the historical record at this time, they would use iron pens, and they would actually inscribe it. And that's what God was saying. He said, I want you to get it down that the people who read it can know I am serious about this. You're not going to be erasing what I'm telling you, but what I'm telling you is going to come to pass. There ought to be some shouts of praise. I want you to know if you got a word from the Lord, it is going to come to pass. I can't tell you when it's coming, but I can tell you it is going to come to pass. But notice the end part of this scripture, that he may run who reads it. So when God says it, he gives us the vision, we write it down. That's the learning process, but then we can run with it because we know it's going to happen. Can I tell you that again? Write the vision. We've got to make it plain on tablets because God has said it. Now I can run with it. There's some of you need to start running right now. I know the victory is not yet. I know you're still going through your struggles, but we can act in faith and go ahead and give him some praise because of the things that he's already done and the things that he's going to do. I'm talking about write, read, and run. This is important in this whole process of learning about God, and we're writing these things down. That's how we get it into our memory. I do memorization, and I found out I've tried to do shortcuts here and there, but there's something about the act of actually writing it down. And I encourage you, even as we're on this internet and we're connected, that you write down points because it gets in your heart. It's amazing. We write it into our minds and write it into our hearts. That's where the memorization takes place. Many of you realize that when you were in school, and some of you are in school now, the best way to memorization is actually writing it down, processing it, and speaking out loud. I'm talking about write, read, and run. God is saying, I need you to do this to get it in your heart. Look at Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it, it will speak, and it will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Here's the point. I love this one. The date is on God's calendar. Yes, the date is on God's calendar. I want you to get that. If there's a calendar on your house or on your phone, you might want to just flip it over and just look at the calendar and say, you know what? The date is not on my calendar, but it is on God's calendar. Isn't that good? I want you to say that again. The date is not on my calendar, but it is on God's calendar. This is what Habakkuk has to deal with. He's like, God, can you tell me when? And God says, you know what? In essence, it's on my calendar. I know when it's going to come, and that is enough. You just got to trust me. Notice Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. God is saying it's on my calendar. I'm just not telling you the date, because that's where faith comes in, and that's where the learning process takes place, where we can trust God and learn more about him. Write, read, and run. We can trust that God is faithful to what he said. But notice that second part. It said, though it tarries, wait for it. That is our struggle so much. God has said so many things, but we've got to wait for it to come, and it is going to tarry. And sometimes God literally says, hold up, I don't want it to move too quickly, because I want them to learn. I want them to trust me. I want them to grow. I pray that this is blessing somebody. Some of the situations that you're going through right now have been extended for your good. I know you don't like it, but I'm telling you, think about it. You've been in some situations for a long time, and you've been asking God, why haven't you let me out of this? It's simply because for you, it's taken a little bit long for you to learn and get that process. Remember, I have this saying, if you always do what you always done, you're always going to get what you always got. And God has a way of giving us and changing it up with us so that we can grow in him. Look at this last part, because it will surely come. I want you to know that you can trust the Lord. Write, read, and run. W. Kroll, he writes this pertaining to this. He said, it pertains to an appointed time, and it will be fulfilled precisely on time, not a moment too late or too early. The vision will be absolutely true and absolutely certain of fulfillment, though there might be intervening circumstances or occurrences that might indicate otherwise. It is on his way. Can you say it's on his way? It's on his way. It is on God's calendar. The Spirit speaks in the book of Hebrews 10:37. It says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Isn't that good? Can I read that again? Some of you being blessed right now. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. I'm talking about a write, read, and run. That is a process of learning to trust the Lord. I want you to really get this, Dottie People. She brought it out. A great theologian, and he put forth these words. She said, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. An on-time God. Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. I tell you, he's an on-time God. Can you put in the chat? Yes, he is. Can you say it in your living room? Yes, he is. He's an on-time God, but we've got to wait on him as we're writing and reading and we're running with the vision. Habakkuk, just wait on me. It's going to work out for your good. Notice Habakkuk 2:4 as we pull this all together. He says, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Isn't that good? Yeah, Habakkuk 2:4 again. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Here's the point. Living by faith. Yes, living by faith. Now, this is critical as we begin to examine the context. God is saying that the proud souls of the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, they're going to be judged. They're going to be judged for this invasion that's taking place on Judah. But please understand, God is still going to allow it to continue on so that Judah can learn. And then God is going to deal with the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. But those who want to be blessed, he's saying to Judah, he said, they got to have faith in Jehovah. They got to live by faith. This continues to come up, the just living by faith. It's so powerful. It's repeated over and over in the New Testament. Let me just give you some. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Yes, as we pull this all together, please understand, we've got to write, we've got to read and run. We're learning how we learn, and we're learning how the Holy Spirit renews our minds as we give more of ourselves to him. We're learning to write, to read, and run with it. But I want to give you some scripture to kind of pull it all together. James 1:22, he says it like this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, to deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. We don't want to be like that. We want to write, read, and run with it. 25th verse, but he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's why I'm so thankful. Are there any thankful folks for Jesus? When I think about what Christ has done for us, when I think about the plan the Father has for us, there ought to be some shout. Can you just put in the chat, amen? Christ comes from heaven to earth to walk among men. But remember how Jesus actually announced his messiahship. Yeah, he announced it. I'm going somewhere here. Write, read, and run. It was prophesied in Isaiah around the 61st chapter, around 700 BC. And Isaiah wrote it down. Yes, he wrote it down. And it was read year after year after year. But in 30 AD, something happened. Jesus shows up in the synagogue and he stands up and he begins to run with what has already been written. He begins to run with what has already been written down. This is important. Luke 4:18. He reads from the scroll that Isaiah had already prophesied and wrote down the word of God. I'm telling you, this is powerful. Write, read, and run. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Luke 4:19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. You talking about a drop mic moment? This is what it was. It's Jesus. He's dealing with the write, read, and run. It's already been written down and people have read it over and over again, but now Christ stands up and runs with it. And he said the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Jesus ran to heal the sick and to raise the dead. He ran across the water. He ran to feed the 5,000 and the 4,000. But I want to take it to the end, and I just want to read it for you. I pray you'll just deal with me as I go to Isaiah 53 and start at the first verse and just talk about the Lord. And if this is blessing you, I just want you to lift up your hand. I want you to say hallelujah on the chat. I want you to say amen. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah 53:2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and he did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Are there any saints that say, Lord, I thank you for being wounded for me? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but with his stripes we are healed. Can you just take some time right there and say, God, I thank you for being my healer. I thank you for being my deliverer. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, from the transgressors of my people he was stricken. Yes, Habakkuk had to deal with it because of Judas issues. Jesus took all of this on. Isaiah 53:9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear the iniquities. I'm talking about write, read, and run. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he was poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Yes, on that cross of Calvary he dies for us, carrying our sins and bearing our griefs. They put him in a cold grave. But there ought to be some saints who say, I know the end of the story. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and glory so that we can walk in more in him and we can renew our mind. I'm talking about write, read, and run. He gets up with all power, and now he is seated on the right hand of the Father and he's praying for us. He wants us to grow and become more like him. We need to write, read, and run with it. Yes, Habakkuk learned. God is not about my timing, but it's about my learning, my understanding of you, my growing in you. The word of God is so powerful. We can trust the Lord in a time that so many things are coming against us. People are questioning the accuracy of the scriptures, questioning even if the church should be around. I'm telling you, you can trust the Lord. God is still in charge. He's still saving souls, delivering and setting free. And I pray that you have understood from this lesson today, God's word is powerful. Yes, powerful. There's so much more in these 66 books that we need to learn from God. And God is saying, come to me, all ye who is heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Are you learning of the Lord? Do you want to grow in him? Then we've got to write, read, and run with it. That is how we learn, as the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of us. If you don't know him, this is your time. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That 10th verse, it goes on. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. We got to wait for it. Yes, wait for it. Habakkuk, he didn't like it. But he understood, okay, God, this is the learning process. This is how we learn. And I encourage you, wait for him. Wait for him. Ask him into your heart. He comes immediately. But the process of transformation takes some time. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the process that the Holy Spirit is working in us, all because of what Christ has done. I want to pray with you. There's some of you are going through. You don't like this learning process. You don't like the fact that you got to put some time in and you got to take notes. You got to write the vision down. You got to make it plain. And then you got to tell others about it. And then others have to grasp it and run with that vision. That's hard because we're having to tarry. But it's all worth it. God knows what he's doing. And his teaching processes never fail. Can you put an amen in the chat? His teaching processes never fail. He knows when you're in a classroom, you're dealing with all types of students, and they learn in different ways, and they come from different backgrounds and perspectives, and they've been challenged in their lives in different ways. But God knows all the stories, and he has techniques within the scriptures for all of his children, that when it's all said and done, we will be like him. I tell you, that's good news. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, help us, help us, help us, God, to be more like you as we write, we read, and we run with it. Thank you for the prophet Habakkuk, Lord, and using him. And Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus, most importantly, that truly is our Savior, is our Lord, and has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to learn more of you. Thank you, God, for another day, another opportunity to grow in you. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail, where we have been lazy, God, that we haven't stepped forward and reached out to you. So today, Lord, we make a determination within our hearts to want you more, to love you more, to seek you more. And you said, God, if we seek you, we will find you. Thank you for your word and you being truthful. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you, Lord, again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me live, blessed Lord, in the light of thy word. Let my life be a light on a hill. Leading souls now astray to the straight, narrow way. Help me do some good deeds while I live. Lord, let my life be a light, shining all through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold. Spreading chairs everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul. Give me wisdom and power every day, every hour. Let me drink from that fountain above. Guide my footsteps aright through the dark, stormy night. Give me peace, give me joy, give me love. Lord, let my life be a light, shining all through the night. May I have struggling ones to the fold, spreading chairs everywhere to the sad and the lone. Let my life be a light to some soul. Give me souls for my heart. Let my life be on fire, shining out to the world as a guide. Help me rescue someone sinking now with no hope, that in heaven we shall end.